Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Spark of Rebellion.
Hello there and welcome to Spark of Rebellion, the weekly Star Wars show that brings you news, views and updates from a galaxy far, far away. This is Mark, one of your co-hosts here on the show every week. And joining me in a second is the most famous scoundrel this side of Kessel. Actually, not the other side. Doesn't go that far. Fuel costs these days. Fuel duty. You've got your maintenance on your ship. But it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. There's nothing there. And I'm going to bring him on to tell you all about that in a second. But today we're going to talk about Skeleton Crew, The Acolyte. We're going to talk about the old New Jedi Order movie that's coming out. We've got a small, I don't want to say an update, maybe a tidbit from Daisy Ridley on that one. And we're going to pick apart a little bit of new Star Wars Lego. I want to give a big shout out to all of our super fans, our supporters who support us at sparkerebellion.com/support. People like Kevin, Pascal, Denise, and so on and so forth. We really, really appreciate you. And if you want to get involved and if you want to get early access to episodes, which is something that we'll be starting pretty soon once we've got the logistics in place for it, and if you want to get hold of a laptop sticker, you can do so at sparkerebellion.com/support. And, you know, whatever, if you want to just get involved on the old socials, sparkerebellion.com/Twitter or /Instagram. You can have your say on everything that we talk about. So without further ado, it is the Wookiee with the Rookiee. It is Mr. Gary Aylett. Hello.
Hello, hello. Good morning. Welcome to another Spark of Rebellion. How are you, dude?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. Yeah, a bit of a busy but good week. Yeah, it's solid. There's plenty going on. Been on with the old, finally got through Bad Batch. We were going to do the Bad Batch review show that we've got, but we're going to do a series finisher for it, we think, because none of us could get to watch it. But I did finally get caught up with it, and I'm going to give you my first thoughts on it, mate. Up to episode 5, it's just about average.
Same.
Just a bit, innit?
It's really slow so far.
Yeah, and there's nothing that's grabbed me. I was like, ooh, Mount Tantis. Mm. Okay, like, we knew from the day that Omega ended up at Mount Tantis, it was going to be all about her blood. Like, we knew that.
Yeah.
You know, we get it. It's all about Grogu, and we can see that. We can see the ties. But it's slow, man, but we'll get to that later. But you're feeling the same way, yeah?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I think they're trying to really ramp up the emotional side of things with bringing Crosshair back, you know, and
yeah,
integrating back into the team and stuff like that. And yeah, so I think it's going to be, it's a bit like, it's one of those stories where we almost know the ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a bit Rogue One-ish where we know what's coming. So I think they're sort of really, really ramping up the emotional stakes. So by the time we get to the end, you know, shit's going to go down, stuff's going to go sideways or whatever. And yeah, so it would be cool if there was just a bit more like series one about it.
I said that to Sam last night, the same thing. Series one was great because it had the mix of like sort of a freak of the week every now and again, like a bit of an offshoot mission.
Mm-hmm.
But it had an arc. It was, the story arc was there, and I'm sure there will be in season three, but season two I felt suffered similarly. But it's not even about action, is it? It's like, just give me an actual story that moves.
Yeah, we just need something in and around because we know that the whole Project Necromancer, you know, when Palps mm-hmm. turned, you know, we had all that stuff, and like you said with Grogu, you can tell that it's all going to culminate towards that, what's going on with that. So in between that, you just need a bit of fun, because let's not forget, this is aimed at kids as well as adults. So for the adult that likes the more slower paced character building, you know, fair enough, it's all good. But I can't imagine like your 8-year-old kid sat there intrigued by all these episodes where it's just pretty slow. The last one wasn't too bad. We had the snow monster and whatnot. It's a bit suspenseful, but yeah, man, overall, I think we're looking for a bit more. How many episodes is this anyway? Is it 20? 15?
It's quite a long one, isn't it?
12. I don't know.
There was like maybe 16 in the last couple of series, I guess.
Yeah, so we're not even halfway through yet, man. So it needs to pick up, basically. Filoni, come on. We know you got it. We know you've got it.
Yeah, we've got it in the bag. And I wonder if it's like a show of three parts, like we sometimes see, you know, the first chapter is getting Crosshair back and getting over that trust issues from coming back in with Wrecker and Hunter and so on. And then, you know, does it shift gear a little bit? And then does it shift gear? We'll just have to see. But yeah, we'll see. You done anything else Star Warsy apart from Bad Batch in it?
No, man. Not apart from Bad Batch in it. That's me. I was thinking of going to a Star Wars shop. I might do it this weekend. Down in London.
Yeah?
There's a shop I didn't know existed. It's called the Jedi Robe. Apparently it does loads of very cool Star Wars merch, collectibles, you know, all the usual stuff, but it's just Star Wars. So they're really heavy on TikTok. They've been pushing it loads. That's how I found out about it. But yeah, I might go and check that out. Do a bit of Star Wars shopping. I haven't bought any Star Wars tat in a while. I haven't got room for like big stuff, but I haven't bought any tat. So yeah, might waste my money on that. Who knows?
Do it. Love
You've got to go for it, mate. Yeah. You know, if you're going to spend 10 quid on a fridge magnet and a bookmark and something else, then what else, you know, what other franchise are you going to do it on?
Get it in there. Yeah. Screw the MCU. Let's get to a bit of news then. So we got the Skeleton Crew coming out at some point. We don't quite know when, but we do have a bit of an update. So this was on March 8th, reported in a couple of places. It's awards season, isn't it? So we get a lot of people speaking to reporters just about things they're working on, which always comes with these, you know, generic questions of when's that thing that you're doing going to be coming out and whatever that thing is. So you always get these sort of flurry of updates at this point in the year. And we did get one, like I said, on March 8th from Dane DiLiegro, who is a part of Skeleton Crew along with Jude Law and some other nippers. And he surmises, to quote, if I were to guess, that's completely surmising, after he said that it will be on Disney Plus by the fall. And he basically just said there's no information about, I've got nothing, there's no insight, I don't know. But Lucasfilm likes to release stuff around November. Which tracks, I get that. It does. It, you know, usually puts stuff out September, October to run up to Christmas, which, you know, cool. Maybe that's true. And then DiLiegro goes on to say that he'd been meaning to reach out to the director, David Lowery, for a bit of an update on that. And yeah, he sort of alludes to a little bit more. He says, I know Lucasfilm is due for something pretty cool, and I think Skeleton Crew might be that thing. So he's putting a lot of faith in Skeleton Crew. You know, he's basically saying that Lucasfilm needs to do something with Star Wars is what he's inferring there, and Skeleton Crew might be the thing. Might be the Deadpool 3 of the Star Wars universe. So kind of an update. It feels like it's one of those things where he just had to say something because he was talking to like Deadline and someone said to him, what's going on with that thing? And he couldn't just say, I don't know. He had to just go, well, it might probably could be this, but I don't know. So sort of an update, dude, but not really. I wonder if it's all the strikes and stuff. You know, we had the SAG-AFTRA strikes and the Writers Guild strikes that lasted for such a long time. And we saw the impact of that in 2008 when it happened. And we've just seen things like Matt Reeves' Batman's been pushed from 25 to 26. I just wonder if it's that, dude. I just wonder if that's what's going on with all these shows, you know?
Yeah. There is an aspect of that, I think, dude. And also, I think there's just lots of moving parts, unfortunately, to these things, especially the big ones like Star Wars and the MCU stuff and whatnot. Just so many moving parts that it's very difficult to... Like, I imagine that they throw dates around a lot, like in the old boardroom and doing that stuff. Like, when should we put this out? Well, we've got this film coming out that's going to detract, and we got this other thing, and, you know, I don't know. Reacher is launching on Amazon Prime or something, and you know, it's all about time, and I guess, and trying to get that exact window locked in. It's a bit like, I imagine it's a bit like trying to game the stock market, you know, when you sort of buy low, sell big and game the market. It's probably like that, I guess, but I don't know. It's like, this better be good, dude.
Right, I know. It's the one that I think we're probably both least excited about, but that was... I don't want to say that was the same with Andor, because it was a bit different with Andor. We sort of knew enough about it to know that it would interest us because it was related to Rogue One, but we didn't know that much about it that we had an opinion either way. This It's got Jude Law looking like he's been shopping at All Saints from 2004. We know that. We've seen that. And I've got nothing against Jude Law. I think he's a great looking guy and he's a good actor. But he's Jude Law, isn't he? He just acts like Jude Law.
Well, do you think he's one of those actors where, whatever film they're in, they're just that. It's like The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson. Whatever film he's in, he's just Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, and Jude Law's a bit like that. He's always so? That like, right. Oh, I can do what I want if I give you a smile at the end. And you're like, I fucking get it, Jude Law. You're a good-looking guy. That ain't going to get you out of this.
Cheeky. He's cheeky, isn't
he? Yeah, he's one of them. He's just one of them. I hope it's good. It probably will be great. Like, you know, just ironically, we'll be just getting battered up. We'll just be beating ourselves up in the future. Like, what a pair of idiots. We should have known it was going to be good.
Well, I don't know. It feels like sometimes with studios, you get the feeling that it's an intentional tease. Mm. You get that thing like, you know, we'll just let the fandom chat about it for ages and let themselves build it up. You know, it's free marketing, basically. So we won't put anything out concrete. We'll just let them go on. So you get the feeling it's a little bit of that. But the offshoot is that you have to deliver at the end of it. You know, if you've got the fandom talking about it for so long, you then need to deliver on that. So I don't know. I think I'm still up for The Acolyte more than this. But I don't know. This might be a surprise. This might be a surprise hit. You never know. So, but yeah, in terms of the release window, this probably sounds about right, dude, because we know that The Acolyte's coming first. So this probably... This is not going to be a Christmas release, is it? This will be a pre-run-up to Crimbo. So
you would think so, but then that leads to the next story. So recently, Amanda Stenberg, spoke to C Magazine about The Acolyte. And basically, there's been a couple of little updates on The Acolyte. I think Stellan Skarsgård gave an update on it as well. I think it was that one that he gave an update on. That was Andor Season 2, apologies. But... this is all done. Like, it feels like The Acolyte's pretty much all done. And she's just said, you know, it's going to honour the ethos of Star Wars and explore various concepts around the Force. We know, as she's mentioned in this, this is like a time of peace, the back end of the High Republic. The Sith are pretty much still out of it. You know, Darth Plagueis is knocking around, you would think, around that timing, 100 years before Phantom Menace. You know, maybe early Palpatine if there's any jumps in it, maybe very early. But it doesn't feel like this is like a Sith thing unless it's the rediscovery of, or it's the Sith behind the scenes trying to build up to power on the back of Darth Bane or whatever, and the ruler too. So it feels like it'll be a Sith story, but in this time of peace. And she's just gone on to say that it's a time of almost real rigid concepts around the Force, which is quite interesting. And we know that leads to the Phantom Menace and the way that it works with Anakin. And, you know, if those restrictions weren't in place and you were just a bit more sensible as the Jedi, maybe none of this shit would happen. So there's quite an interesting concept there. And she mentions the word institution, which I think it's the first time we've probably ever heard that in relation to like the Jedi and the Sith and whatever. So really interesting. Really interesting. And one last tidbit is she said that what they're trying to explore is when an institution has a singular conception of how power can be used. And we try to provide different perspectives and answer to that question. So that, to me, is really interesting because it does, for me, it ties directly into like the Ruler 2 stuff, ties directly into like Palpatine's a complete asshole, but some people will be like, well, you know, it's not working now. Maybe we do need someone to keep order. And it ties to Anakin, it ties to the Jedi, the hubris of the Jedi, and the whole, you know, like I said, if you'd have just let Anakin get on with it, let him have his, you know, let him get married. He's still really good and really good at this stuff that you need him to do. Let's just not let him kill all the kids. Yeah. So that could be really interesting. So, yeah, interesting update from Amanda. It's Amanda Stenberg, which is, yeah, didn't realise that, but it is.
Yeah, these the younger generation coming through. I mean, I don't know what we were doing as parents, you know, a few years ago, but the book of baby names has obviously changed, hasn't it? Because we got that dude who was Wonka, Timothy, with two E's and a whatever, you know. And then it's just, what's going on? Just call your kid a rock solid name, yeah.
Brett.
Brett. Yeah.
Brett and Linda.
Sounds very Australian, that.
Ah, Brett. Linda. Brett. Brett. Brett.
Not South African, mate.
I'll get it myself.
Australian.
Now, I can't tell the difference in that accent.
No, yeah.
Always the same.
So, Amandla Stenberg, little update there. Yeah, I'm really intrigued, dude, because she also goes on to say, as you mentioned, that they want to honour the ethos of Star Wars and the ideas around the Force, but also challenge them. And that's exactly the brief you want, I guess, as somebody who's making a Star Wars TV show, which is different to Andor. So with Andor, you probably didn't need to bother with that too much because you've not got much in the way of Jedi action or Sith or all that sort of thing. That, like, Andor was very industrial, almost realistic. You know, that could have happened in, I don't know, Barnsley, you know,
Leeds.
That could have, whatever, you know, that could have happened there, you know. So that felt very much boots on the ground, you know, whatever. But something like The Acolyte, which we know is very centered around the dark side of the Force and power, you know, all that stuff.
Mm.
That's like music to your ears. You know, if you were taken on as a producer or a director or writer, whatever, for this, the last thing you want to hear is you can't do this and you can't do that, you know. So if you want to stretch it a little bit, you know, challenge this and do that, then great. So that's intrigued me the most, dude. It's it sounds like they're still going to adhere to, like, the core, you know, storytelling around the Force and stuff like that. They're not going to just do away with it, but let's just sort of on the periphery just tease that bit and challenge that bit. So that's cool, man.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those where it's because there's so many different facets to, like, what you can enjoy about the whole Star Wars thing. Like you said, Andor's very much the almost a continuation of the prequels to a degree, because it's got a lot of politicized elements to it, but then it's also like the down and dirty fighting rebellion aspect of the political elements, you know, the ramifications of the output of that. And then, yeah, I mean, we all got into Star Wars because of the laser swords and the wizard shit. You know, so it's... And I feel like sometimes that's... I feel like sometimes when they do a Jedi thing, it gets called fan service. And it's sort of... It can be parlayed as like this negative thing, but it's not. It's like, that's why we got into it. Like, we didn't get... No one watched A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi because they were like, what the fuck's going on in the Senate?
Exactly, yeah. That was later.
We got
on,
into it for this wild and wonderful space cowboy, bloody Western bit of a laugh. And I feel like sometimes that because these show, and because like fandom's so entitled these days, I feel like, you know, if anything treads on the concept or the conception and the ideas that people have got from 50 years of being a fan, and they do something different with it, or they add to it in a way that someone might not like, but other people might like. You just, because of the way the world is now versus like 1977, 78, through to the 80s, 90s, people just have a whine about it more. So you sort of, you are a bit, these TV shows are more difficult to get right, aren't they? Because there's that much more going on.
Yeah, for sure. And you also, I think sometimes Lucasfilm and whatnot, they kind of buckle under their own pressure sometimes, it feels like, which I think is what's going on with the season of The Bad Batch. You can tell that the individual characters and wanting to explore that stuff and like you said, maybe do like an odd Creature of the Week kind of thing. It feels like that's what you'd want them to do. You'd expect them to do that because that's what's worked really well before. But because it's a Star Wars thing that happens to be in that time period, with this thing that's in the build-up to that thing, you have to do it this way.
Mm.
You know, and I think sometimes when you have stuff like perceived as fan service, it's like, eh, well, we kind of have to do this because, you know, there's been a billion stories told about that character or this timeline. You can't do anything else. You have to do that. You're on a linear path almost. So I think sometimes it almost puts, like, you know, pressure on its shoulders because of it's so locked in and everything. So I guess this and the Skeleton Crew will be an opportunity to break out of that a little bit, I guess, right? Because the Skeleton Crew is completely different. That's like, you know, brand new stuff almost, it feels like. And then the Acolyte, although it's kind of circling around stuff that we know about, it gives you the opportunity to challenge those things a little bit. So yeah, hopefully it won't be a case of, you know, there'll be a name drop and then fan service is like, oh yeah, we knew this was coming, rubbish.
Yeah,
give us something new. It's like, well, you're asking for something new and you're giving it to you. All we've done is just mention a character, so, you know, chill out.
Yeah, like you said, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. Like, if they, and if they put, let's say for argument's sake, they put Plagueis in, right? Because the timing's right for it. You know, who else is going to be fucking about with the Sith at that time unless they create someone new? Because then if they create someone new, because the fandom goes, man, oh, that's not my Darth Plagueis from the, it's not exactly the same as the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they create someone new because they're like, well, why would I mess around with those lot? They're like, actually, did you know that actually it's Plagueis at this time? And you're like, well, it's not, is it? Because that's not canon. If we'd have done that, you'd have complained because it wasn't. So you are damned if you do and damned if you don't. Yeah. And it was, as much as it annoyed a lot of people, I still agree with the fact that they had to reset that extended universe timeline in 2013. They had to do it. There was no way around it when you look back at it, because this would have been exacerbated far more had they not done. You know, they want to do a new Jedi Order. Well, all this stuff's happened. And so you can't. So, yeah, it's a very difficult thing. And that's why when we talk about it, like, I almost can't think of another franchise that is as bad for that, because not there aren't really many that have got heritage. Yeah, there's, like, so DC's a great example. And even Marvel to a degree. But all that happens with them is that people go, that's not in the comics. Or is in the comics. And so at least the way around that is to say, well, we're amalgamating, like, okay, this is the Dan Juergens Superman parents version, but it's the John Byrne Clark Kent version, and it's the Alex Ross Superman. Like, we can just go out and you could just say that. We got into, like James Gunn's been doing, I just got inspiration from these 10 things. Mm-hmm. That's, you end up with this thing. But with Star Wars, it's like, you know, on December 27th, 2 years after the Battle of Yavin, that Luke Skywalker had Pop-Tarts for breakfast. And you've said that he doesn't like chocolate. But I've seen it in this book that he does. And Star Wars fans just don't like it if you go, yeah, but we're just using that as inspiration. They're like, you're fucking wrong.
You're wrong, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's weird, man. And like you said, the Acolyte is a real interesting place because it's like, we know it's got Vanessa Rowe in it, which is who's a Jedi from the High Republic books. We know that Amanda Stenberg is playing a Padawan. Could be, we don't know who that is. And then, like, it segues into the Legends Plagueis stuff. So, like you say, it's fresh, but people will find something.
Yeah, they always will, and there'll be a throwaway line. That's just maybe a passing reference to something, and then that'd be it. You know, it'd be a week's worth of fandom chat about that thing. Oh, no. Yeah, like you said, I read this book like a decade ago where you said that this thing happened. Whatever. But maybe they should do that with, you know, they do that with the comic books and whatnot as well over the years. Like you said, DC's a good one for that when they have these massive kind of events that reset everything, like, I don't know, the Crisis stuff or Flashpoint, whatever. You end up with fans saying, oh, but, you know, I loved how you did that character before and whatnot. And then you fast forward and it's like, actually, yeah, it's a good decision. Because if you carried on. And also, you end up with this thing where you're just starved of ideas. You know, if you haven't got anyone that's coming in, it's like, look, I love Star Wars. I'm a massive fan of it. I'd love to make a Star Wars TV show. But Kath, if you're going to, like, you know, hold me to a fucking paragraph in a book that came out 2 decades ago, I'm out. You're going to have more and more of that, you know, so you need to have, if you want to get, like, the really cool, not edgy, but, you know, the sort of the younger generation of filmmakers coming through and doing that cool stuff, you've got to give them a bit of wiggle room. You've got to, otherwise they're just like, well, I'm just being told what to do, you know. Yeah. I don't work in a factory. You know, I want to write and create some cool stuff. You know, give me the boundaries, sure. But, you know, I'm not just going to be like, I'm not going to, like, remove this really cool thing that I know would work well just because someone wrote a book about it years ago. So, yeah, they've got to wiggle it around a bit and just screw fandom anyway. Like you said, people like it, people hate it. Just crack on.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. I mean, it's, and you look at the comments as well. It's like, oh, this is screw the patriarchy. You know, and all that, you basically get the old middle-aged white guys having a fucking fit because they're not the bosses anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Like, and we'll probably get, you know, we'll be woke for that. I don't know what woke is. Someone called me woke on the golf show the other day. They were like, look at this woke smug guy. I'm like, I'm really handsome, and it catches a lot of people out. Like, you've got to think, I'm not being smug. I am that nice looking that it looks like I'm smug all the time. It's not my fault. Bones are bones, man. I can't change them. And he loved that. So, but then he called me woke because it was something along the lines of just give everyone a chance. And he was like, you're woke. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's man, yeah. I am. Why, yeah. I should have said, let's just give the old white guys their chance and forget everyone else. And it sort of seeps into all fandom now, doesn't it? Like, I know that, I can't remember who it was, the Patty Jenkins, not the Patty Jenkins, the Star Wars movie where the director came out and goes, this is to screw over the men, sort of thing. You know, that you can sort of see that's, you can see, like, it's almost a, they're going a long way to make sure that everyone knows that it's, you know, the old white guys don't have the majority anymore. So when you start, the reason I'm saying that is because when you then add things in, like, all right, okay, we've got Daisy Ridley coming back, which we'll get to in a second. We've got basically strong female leads in Andor, what appears to be the Acolyte, maybe Skeleton Crew. I don't know how that's working out. You put that together with the fact that you've taken the old guys' legends away.
That's it.
And you can see why, like, YouTube channels exist. You can see why they exist, because they want someone to blame for it. It's fascinating to see. Really is. And Kath gets it. Good old Kath.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And you can tell, whoever the director is on that, who you just mentioned on that new Daisy Ridley film, forgotten her name, but you can tell that she's kind of on purpose throwing a live grenade into fandom there. You know, to openly say that. What did she say? Something like, I actively like winding up, you know, men or something, like whatever it was. Whatever the line was, you know, got everyone up in arms and all the rest of it. It's like, oh, come on. If you're going to fall into the trap of being baited like that, then you got to call yourself like the old guard sort of thing. You know, if you're going to allow yourself to be wound up by that, then, you know, go and find another franchise, you know?
That's it, out there.
Yeah,
that is
There's
it.
Loads.
It's funny, man. It is funny.
The new Dune film, get into that. The Dune stuff, it's pretty good.
Do you know,
sci-fi.
I watched the first Dune the other day. I tried it before. First half hour killed me. Slow as hell. The last part was all right. And I want to probably see Dune 2 at some point, but I watched it. I've read the book. That was miles easier to read. It was easier to read than watch that first film.
Oh, man. I've heard like the opposite on the book.
I thought it was all right.
Okay. For years, people have said you should read Dune. It's like, it's quote unquote proper sci-fi. You know, like Blade Runner. You know, that's like proper sci-fi.
Yeah. Hard to understand sci-fi. It's not sci-fi if it's not hard to understand.
Exactly. Yeah. If it's not melting your mind by the end of, like, I don't know, chapter 4. So I don't know. So you reckon a book's easier than because the film looks all right. It looks like good,
the
great
first
people
one
in
was
it.
Just like the first half hour, 45. There's just not loads happens in it. And I get, it's, don't get me wrong, the story is really interesting and good, but it's like any old story. It's just the standard. Nothing wrong with that, and it's a spectacle. But it was the first 45 minutes; nothing happens.
Do you reckon there's a Dune fandom then that's going absolutely berserk that the stuff that's in films is not in the book and all that? Is there more than one book, dude? Is it like a series?
Is it a trilogy? I'm not really big into it. All I know is that I've got a massive, thick, 2,000-word book. Book, and it's easy that big, and it's hardback, and it's massive.
It's
a trilogy in that one book. Three books in one.
I love that. I've got a Star Wars book like that. It's the old original trilogy novelization.
Oh, I've got them as well, big black and yellow thing. Black and gold.
I like it when you do that, because it's value. You're buying one thing, but you're getting more,
making your money.
Speaking
of value, let's completely change and not talk about value. Daisy Ridley, she's good value. Probably was in The Force Awakens, not in the others. Price will have gone up. She's been at Old South by Southwest. you know, the edgy event that now has podcasting exhibits. What happened to that then? Used to be edgy. Anyway, she's been there promoting her latest movie, Magpie, and she spoke to Steven Weintraub of Collider, and he just goes, what's going on with this New Jedi Order? Is that the title for this movie? And she said, I don't know. I mean, I think so. From the announcement, I don't think that's changed, said Ridley. Though the star has yet to see a completed script, Ridley confirmed that a script is happening and I'm going to be reading imminently, which is very exciting. What I'd like to just pick up on this one is the following. Forget all that. If it's called the New Jedi Order, sweet. If it changes, sound. Doesn't make any difference, right? A script is happening. Never. I love that. A script is happening. Well, do you definitely want to do a script? I don't know what I mean. Do we need to? Shall we just... 3 hours of just ad-libbing. Let's see what we get out of it. And it would still be better than Rise of Skywalker.
Hey.
Oh, it would.
Come on, we know you love that one.
Christ almighty. But yeah, anyway.
I don't believe this. Don't believe it.
No, I'm not sure, because it seems a bit late in the day, doesn't it?
Yeah. I believe that she's not 100% on the title, because that's whatever. But the script is the first thing you have in a film. She's read like three revisions of the script at least, man.
Well, she goes on to allude at the end to say, look, when we spoke about what was going to be happening, she teased that this project would be different, and she'd basically gone on to say, look, I thought about coming back for a little bit once I knew what the story was and everything. I knew it was something I wanted to do. It's an exploration of the Star Wars world and taking it in a different direction, to paraphrase. So she's clearly had the pitch, you know, the top level pitch, and it just seems a bit late in the day, because I think this is due out in 2026.
Yes.
That's only 2 years, you know, and it'd probably be a summer blockbuster. Call it May 2026. We're a year out from getting a trailer, if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, man. I think it's rubbish that she's not seen a script. But, breaking news.
Oh.
A script is happening.
Yeah, it's on its way, apparently. You read that script yet? No.
I do know there will be a script. When?
Been at SXSW, mate.
It just will be. You've been like this for?
Yeah, something's fishy about this, mate. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you for why. You do not get absolutely destroyed by fandom and
you
critics.
You do not get absolutely destroyed by
You do not. And then turn around and say... that should be rewarded, mate, if anything.
Well, it should be equal.
Well, that's them saying it. Yeah. You do not get ripped to shreds by fandom and critics collectively and then sit there and think, do you know what? I'd love to come back and do that.
Yeah, how long it took Hayden Christensen to come back, and like Ahmed Best, and like poor old Jake Lloyd, still like, nah, this can bollocks.
Exactly. I think, and this, if we ever meet Daisy Ridley, we probably will at some point. She knows us. She's probably like, I want to come on, have a chat. Then I will apologise profusely,
She
clears this up. But to me, this sounds to me, mate, like she's done a few films after Star Wars. Like her kind of fame settled down a little bit. She's done a few films and now she's realised they actually pay all right. Star Wars pays all right, you know.
Bit of buns on that.
So I'm young still, you know. How long is this acting thing's going to last? I don't know. While I'm young and there's hay to be made, bit of buns on that. Kath, what you saying? Yeah? 6-0 this time?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. So it makes me sound very... I don't know, cynical dude about that, but something just doesn't feel right. If you've got like, we know that the Star Wars cinematic stuff has really stopped in its tracks, hasn't it? You know, after the Rise of Skywalker, they've taken stock. They're like, look, let's push the Disney Plus stuff. There's more avenue for exploration there. Let's come back and do the films when we've got a rock solid thing. So that's been in the chat for those guys for years. And now you've got this big film about a new Jedi Order. It's all good. And now Daisy Ridley's like, yeah, I haven't read a script yet. And I want to come back. And this doesn't, the dots are not joining for me, mate. But yeah, I could be wrong. But yeah, I don't know. the old cynical brain this morning. But
yeah, I get that, dude. The timing doesn't feel quite right on it. It just feels a bit far out.
Yeah.
Sorry, a bit close up to production, pre-production maybe starting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 years out from release, you would assume, I can't see this being I take that back. It might be a Christmas 26 movie because that's when the sequel trilogy released. And it actually might be a Christmas one. I take that back.
Could be.
So that's two and a half years, almost, I suppose almost 3 years. We're only 3 months in, aren't we?
Hold on. We've got another Star Wars film dropping that same year, haven't we? We've got the
Filoni-verse.
Mando and Grogu thing. Yeah. Oh, is that the
Filoni-verse one? The Heir to the Empire? Is that different?
Yeah, that's what I'm just asking. Is that a different? I think that's a different one. Yeah.
It is different, isn't it? There's Mando and Grogu, then Heir to the Empire. Right. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So we got the Mando and Grogu one dropping the same year. So they'll probably push this. Well, yeah, to Christmas.
I'm edging bets on the Mando and Grogu movie being the thing that gets Ahsoka back.
Yes.
Grogu.
I'd agree with that.
Force, feel, go get him. Sort all that gear out. Get back over here for Heir to the Empire.
Yeah. You want to bet that once that film's out, fandom will be like, that could have been a Disney Plus thing. That
100%. Move too quickly. It moved too quickly. Same guys that are like, Obi-Wan was shit, move way too slow. And or character development and actual screenwriting, shit. Get me a movie. Oh, I'm not going to say it. Why? All it is, I drove past the cinema and there was a woman outside. I ain't going in there. I'm not going in.
Not if there's a woman in there.
Not if there's a
woman involved.
Jeez. Get away. Bring back the 70s. Why? Women didn't exist. Right.
Don't mind another fella involved. Yeah. But
they are some plonkers, aren't they? You see it all the time in the comments. Yeah. Facebook's like rife with it.
But you're woke if you call it out, mate.
Oh, right. Dude, it's almost, I don't want to get into this too much, but it's like the religious argument. If you're an atheist and you go, yeah, but can you just explain dinosaurs and like kids getting cancer? And they're like, yeah, but God works in mysterious ways. Like, that's not a fucking answer. So then you go to Star Wars and you're like, yeah, but mate, look, I think it's all right that women can do this. You snowflake. Yeah. And you're like, that can't just be your view. Like, that's not a view. That's just like, I don't know what else to say. So I'm going to give you that vague answer that you clearly can't have an argument to, because if you do, I'll just say the same thing again.
Yeah, it's like a tunnel visioned little reply that just neatly wraps up what you think is the view of the world. Yeah, I read you.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
Star Wars, isn't it?
Wild, mate. Anyway, yeah. So Star Wars, isn't it? Daisy Ridley's back. So that'll piss him off.
Daisy Ridley's back. That film's directed by a woman, you know.
Don't know if you realise that. Not happening. Close the cinema, says everyone from the 70s.
Where's Harrison Ford? He should be in this film. Should he?
That's not my Luke Skywalker. He's got long hair. Is it?
That's not my Luke. Yeah, Shaggy Farm Boy. Where's he?
Oh my God. The best one is like the Mary Sue. Razor Wright Mary Sue. I'm like, he definitely did not just take that entire Death Star down using his space with a voice that he didn't use ever before this one moment. Definitely didn't do that, did he? And they're like, that's different.
My opinion's different. So it is actually different.
It's funny, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. Just buy that.
Yeah. I don't want to acknowledge it. So it definitely is like factually different because I don't want to acknowledge it. Yeah. That's the problem with Star Wars and all the fandoms, man. It kills me. It kills me. Things that don't kill me. Lego. Unless you stand on it in the middle of the night. We got 5 new Lego sets available this month. Came out a couple of weeks ago. They've done a few things. They've done Animal Crossing, Harry Potter, Speed Champions Technic, and of course Star Wars. So we've got, these are sort of they're not the big UCS ones, the Ultimate Collector Series. They're celebrating like 25 years of Lego Star Wars, I think. And they're sort of in like the 80, 90 quid price range. I think we've talked about these before, but the Tantive one is looking really good for me, like 80 quid's worth Tantive. You're not having to spunk $300 on this big UCS, 2,500, 3,000 piece set. But yeah, we've got the Millennium Falcon, we've got the Tantive, we've got the Invisible Hand, and we've got an R2, and then we've got a diorama inside the Tantive 4. So I think we did cover these, actually. But I can't remember if we said we'd pick any of these up. Are you going to grab any of these, dude?
Yeah, we did talk about this very briefly, but we didn't know the prices or anything back then. And it's all part of the 25th Lego Star Wars anniversary thing. So all the boxes have got the badge on, and you get the little thing with that 25 years of all that stuff. So I think I might get the, I don't know, the Tantive looks really sweet.
Yeah.
It looks neat, that, yeah, on the little stand and stuff. So the Falcon and the Tantive and the other one, what's the Invisible Hand and stuff.
Invisible Hand, they've all
these, yeah. Yeah, these little stands and stuff. They look pretty sweet, quite neat. So I'm the Tantive, I don't know. I've always been a sucker for that, dude. Just because it looks like, it's just a very cool design. You know, the Falcon's been done a million times, and I picked up the Lego Millennium Falcon for Crimbo as a treat to myself. To myself. So that's on the bookcase. That's, yeah, that's the big one. So I don't need to get that one. I'm not really fussed about the Invisible Hand. So yeah, out of all of them, it'll either be the R2 one. So that the R2 is not the little mini one. It's still relative size. It's pretty good. So I might get that and the Tantive, dude. And then there's the little diorama, isn't there? Where is it? That's on the Tantive as well, isn't it? I'm not sure if I want to pay, what is it, 50 quid?
Yeah.
That little diorama. I don't know. It's just a bunch of minifigs, really.
Yeah, that's it. With like a set, I agree. I used to get a few of the little dioramas. I've got the Revenge of the Sith, Anakin and Obi-Wan fight, and a couple of others. Like, I've got the Han in Carbonite one. And I like them, but they're sort of, they're like the ones that if I had to get rid of something to clear some space, they'd be the first things to go. Like, I give them to my little nephew. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but I think like the Millennium Falcon is not detailed enough. It's like it's a bit too bulky and round, and then the Invisible Hand I'm not keen on. The Tantive's just sort of that middle ground. It's just got enough detail, I think, just because of the shape of the ship, because the Falcon's round. You almost need more bricks to get a real nice curve on it, which we see in the bigger sets. But it's, yeah, they're not, these aren't really for me. The R2 is a nice one at 100 quid.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, because that is actually really cool. I've got the UCS version of that, and it's actually not that much smaller. And the detail actually doesn't look
pretty close.
That much different. There are differences. You can tell some of the detail, but I'm talking like for a third of the price, that represents the best value of these.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, so it's, for me, it's either the Tantive ship or R2. Yeah, quite like the R2 one. Yeah, I think the thing with Lego as well is that sometimes, because it requires physical thing. I mean, you and I are the perfect generation for Lego, really. But you know, it's not like a video game or something where it just works. You just get the thing and it does it. With Lego, they end up just sitting on my shelf in the box for a few months, and then I have to, like, you know, prod myself to actually build the thing.
Yeah, I'm like that.
You know, so it's like a good shelf, you know, showing off the shelf in its box for a while. It's like, oh, you got some Lego there. You haven't built it yet. And yeah, need to do that. So if I'm going to buy them, dude, I'm going to have to bloody build them. You know, then you got your wife. Oh, we're going out. Yeah, going in. So that gets pushed back and blah, blah, blah. Yes. So out of those lot, those two, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be the same with that one. And just to wrap it up, then, we are going to come to Star Tours. Have you done Star Tours? Have you ever done Star Tours, dude?
No. Have you done it?
Yeah, I did it. When did I do it? Last year? What year before? Last January, I think. Yeah, I did. Last January. Yeah, it was really good. We looked out. We just turned up at Galaxy's Edge and there was no one there. So we got on everything, Rise of the Resistance. We did all the workshops and everything. And there was literally no one there. And then Ashley Eckstein turned up at like 4 p.m. and it got wild. But yeah, I've done it. It's really cool. And there's one at Disneyland Paris as well, which I couldn't go on because the kid wasn't big enough for it, little shit. But next time, next time. But they are updating it. According to Culture Crave, star tours at Disney parks across the globe will include locations and characters from Andor, Ahsoka, and The Mandalorian starting on April the 5th. So just a small little update. We don't know what scenes, what landscapes or whatever will be in there. But quite a nice little update. I imagine they have to do this periodically. Anyway, I think maybe Star Tours had some of the sequel stuff in there when I was there. As I remember, it's still run by 3PO and so on. But yeah, just not much to say about this one, dude. Just nice to see them continuing to upgrade.
Yeah, it does sound... You need a little bit of... Like the Disney park stuff and all that. That needs a little bit of investment ongoing, doesn't it? Otherwise, it just gets like, you know... Alton Towers here in the UK. If you've been there like for years, you will know that they don't really update stuff that often.
No.
And then out of the blue, there'll be like a brand new roller coaster, but like, oh, sweet. But I think with the Disney park stuff, it needs to be a constant thing when you're basing this on a franchise like Star Wars or whatever. And this might play into, like, if they're doing new stuff for Star Tours, it might play into what you said last week. You remember the Ahmed Best thing and he was in the mocap? And
oh,
you were like,
yeah.
I reckon this is going to be like a character thing for an upcoming Star Tours. So you could be right on that, dude. We could see some new visual stuff and he's playing a character or characters, whatever. So yeah, this is cool, man.
Yeah, good. That could be quite interesting. The good thing about that is as well, I think when you go to somewhere like a Disney, you do want to be continually seeing new things. I think that's important because it's the repeat experience of going on a Star Tours or whatever is in the you do a ride 5 or 6 times, I suppose, over a course of a few years, and it's fine if it's the same. But something like Star Tours, it's an immersive story at the end of the day. You want it to be different every single time. So I'm excited to see that. Maybe try and get out there another time, give it another 3 or 4 years, might get out there again, we'll have a look. But yeah, interesting to see. And who knows what else will be updated as well once we've got Heir to the Empire, the Floniverse stuff, any of the Acolyte stuff, if any of that sticks and the fandom embraces it. So we will see on that one, too. But yeah, Star Tours is getting an update from the 5th of April. All right, let's stick a pin in old episode 212. I used to get the 212 bus to college. 212 is late. Oh, is it? Yeah, you can. If you run, you'll make it, though. Am I all right? Oh, no problem. So 212, done. In the can, in the bag, and it's been a fun one. Thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure. Thank you to Kev and to Pascal and Denise and to Tom and to everyone else that supports us. Danny over on our support page. If you want to join the fan zone, sparkrebellion.com/support. Come and get yourself some swag. We appreciate you. And yeah, until the next time, I'll see there. Gaz, have a good one. Enjoy your Star Wars. And
you, dude. Yeah, it's been another good one. And thank you as well to our supporters. We love you guys. And head over to sparkrebellion.com/support. You can pop your beer money over there to us or anything else. We'll throw it back into the show and make sure we're bringing you the regular Star Wars content and all that. So until next week for 213, take care of yourself. And may the Force be with you. Always.